Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is, what is today?
The 22nd.
I apologize. I'm thinking about six different things at one time.
See, you need me, Sam.
And this is Mary Jo, who is doing her best to support me and to back me up. Morning, Mary Jo.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. Lee, our producer. Did I catch you by surprise?
Good. I thought you were going to just... Not include me.
You know, I wouldn't do that. After giving us this nice little token that you gave us this morning.
Right. We were celebrating, it's over this number, but 250 episodes of Ujiria.
Wow.
That is quite an achievement for you guys.
And just, again, we really appreciate Lee just acknowledging that. We were talking, laughing about it off the air. It's been a tough day, and that just brought a smile to our face. Thank you,
Great.
Lee.
We got an award.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, today's going to be a great show. It is a show about an event and an organization that we speak to and speak with and work with throughout the year, and that's the National Parkinson Foundation. With us from the National Parkinson Foundation is Laura Renna. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're going to begin this. Laura's title is Moving Day Coordinator. Now, I don't know how you want to begin to explain that, but it does tell everything. So why don't you, first of all, give us a little bit of your background, and then we can go from there.
Okay. So like Sam said, my name is Laura Renna. I'm the Moving Day Atlanta Coordinator for the National Parkinson Foundation. I am originally from Illinois, and I have been down here in Atlanta for 8 years. And this was after graduating from McKendree College in Illinois with a bachelor's in psychology. And I currently live with my husband, Michael. We've been married almost 2 years, and we are expecting our first child, a baby boy, on Christmas Day.
Now, did you meet your husband in Illinois?
I actually met him down here. He is a dueling piano player, so I met him at one of his shows.
Dueling piano player?
It's where they have two different piano players, and they're not really dueling so much. They're just switching off playing songs. It's all requests.
Does he play in East Cobb?
Yes, at Red Sky.
At Red Sky!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I've heard them. Mm-hmm. They are awesome.
Do you always have to make this personal?
It's always about Mary Jo.
It's not really about me, but it's just I'm endorsing her husband. He's awesome.
Thank you.
She's just a vibrant person.
There you go. But anyway, Sam, you would enjoy that. Red Sky, dueling pianos.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit, first of all, you've been here too. Why did you come to Atlanta? How did you decide on Atlanta?
My older sister had moved down here a couple of years before me, and so I had visited a couple times and just wanted to get out of Illinois. I'm from basically the middle of the cornfields, not Chicago, so wanted to try a bigger city, and I moved 2 weeks after graduating.
Well, not being from Chicago is a plus. We'll give it. Coming to Atlanta is a plus too. So you're doing well.
Exactly.
And going to be with your big sister. Now, see, I'm a big sister too. See,
Scott. Once again.
I was trying to do that, but that is neat that you've got some family here in this big old city.
So, how are you enjoying going from a kind of the small town to this
to the big old metropolis?
I enjoy all that there is to do, but I hate the traffic.
No kidding.
And all of the crowds. It was a big adjustment. But I mean, being here for 8 years now, it seems second nature. So it's actually hard to go back home.
You know, and this is really a plug for Atlanta. And you're right. And traffic probably is no worse than Chicago, but it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you sit down and you compare the life in Atlanta to elsewhere, traffic is about the only problem. I mean, the climate's good, quality of life's good, opportunity is reasonably good. So the cultural is reason. I mean, again, tell me what else besides traffic that you don't like about Atlanta. Maybe the heat. I don't know. Well, my wife and I did that about 20 years ago, so we were in the same boat. And we finally looked at that and said, well, if that's the only problem we got, And we better figure out how to deal with it.
Make that work, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So then how'd you get hooked up with the Parkinson's Foundation?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
So I've been involved with nonprofits ever since I was a kid. Whenever I was 4, I started delivering Meals on Wheels with my grandmother. And wow. That just sparked an interest in me. I know a lot of times I tell people I've been volunteering for 26 years and they're like, that's not possible. But it's because I've been doing it since I was 4. And then I just involved myself with volunteering either through Girl Scouts or different service organizations in school, all throughout college. And then whenever I moved to Atlanta, I actually was working in the corporate sector, but I was spending all of my free time doing volunteer work. Mm-hmm. And so I decided about 5 years ago to make the switch and just make my career nonprofits. And with regards to my current position, I just saw the posting about a year and a half ago and decided that I had a background with walks and fundraising, and I wanted to try my best to help the people in Atlanta that are suffering from Parkinson's disease.
Can you share a little bit, because I think it's important. Your family must have obviously encouraged volunteering, and that was part of your just family life.
Upbringing.
And not mm-hmm. every family does that. Can you share some of the, how to maybe incorporate that and just make it a natural part of your family's life?
I mean, I think with that, it's just really exposing kids, and I guess the rest of the family, just exposing kids to volunteering early.
Like so it, your grandma.
Like my grandma did.
Taking just, you with her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think with that, especially whenever I was really little, I mean, delivering the Meals on Wheels, I didn't really know the purpose of what I was doing. I just liked to go see, you know, the older people, and they would give me candy and soda and things, and I seemed... you know, to make them happy. So I think initially it was just that. But then once I actually understood the importance of it, then it just built upon that to the point where I wanted to volunteer on my own and kept it up. But
and now you've, I mean, now your career is focused in that manner. So
exactly.
Obviously it made quite an impact.
Mm-hmm, it did.
But to answer Lee's question, it was almost like a part of your life.
Yes.
That's
and ever
cool.
since I can remember, it's just I've always been volunteering and helping people whenever I could.
What can you think of some of the other things that you did as maybe a you know, growing child or young adult?
Just different volunteer things
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know I helped out.
Were you
with
a candy striper?
No. We helped out with, I would a lot of times collect money for a lot of different organizations. So, you know, the kids that are standing at the intersections mm-hmm. and collecting money.
So you had a knack for that. Every
exactly.
nonprofit, if you're good at that, they'll find a place for you.
So I would do
contemporary
that.
Flower child is what you did.
Helping out at our local library, helping out at animal shelters, Habitat for Humanity, soup kitchens. Just
wow.
There's a wide array.
That child didn't play.
No, she
just did volunteer activities.
Your major was psychology?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you.
He needs some free therapy advice here.
Oh, absolutely. That's true. You know, if you do some reading, people will say that the most significance that people can, the act that brings the most significance to someone's life is helping someone else. And that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, from that psychology standpoint, just elaborate, how do you feel? Where is that in what you're doing in the nonprofits? How does it fulfill you? Maybe is what I'm trying to get at.
I mean, I think what you said makes sense. Just really anytime that you're helping others, I think either makes you feel better about yourself or at least contemporarily take your mind off your own problems. Just, I mean, seeing anyone else that's in a worse state than you and just anything that you can do to help them.
As soon as you said the latter part, it takes the spotlight off of your own troubles. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, again, we all have issues. And I think for me, it's me coming to a position. I'm not alone in this battle. Right. I'm not the only guy that's having a hard time. I'm not the only guy that's persecuted. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is in the same boat.
Right.
And when I see that, then I go, shut up, Sam, and do something about it. You know, that's kind of the way, the attitude. So I thought that was interesting. Some psychology.
Hey, Laura, so you said you made the switch to just make this your vocation instead mm-hmm. of your avocation. What was your first job when you got here? What did you do when you first got here?
The very first job, I actually was an administrative assistant for a criminal defense attorney.
Oh my gosh.
So it's kind of like the complete opposite.
That's a different world, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. But then you saw the posting and felt like you really had...
Well, I worked in a couple other nonprofits first.
Oh, okay.
I actually worked at the Alzheimer's Association and also the Georgia Tech Alumni Association. So just getting a couple different backgrounds of fundraising, some of it through events and some of it through an annual fund. And then decided I wanted to go back to doing events. And so that's when I made the switch back to the Parkinson Foundation.
And events, that's a common fundraising technique that a lot of nonprofits use, and walks are a specific one that a lot of them use, right?
Exactly.
Well, that leads us right to your title and Moving Day Coordinator. Now, we commonly call it a walk, but obviously the National Parkinson Association is viewing it differently. So tell us about it.
They are. So it is, in all regards, a walk. There is a 5K walk portion of it. And there also is a kids area. There's a caregiver's relaxation tent. There's different Parkinson's resources. But the biggest emphasis and also why it's called Moving Day is because of our signature movement pavilion. So this is where we have different demonstrators showing yoga and boxing, tango, Zumba, just different movement demonstrations because they've been proven to help out with the symptoms of those suffering from Parkinson's disease.
Is there, and again, I know you're not a clinician, but can you just tell our listening why? Why is it that this movement is so important to Parkinson's? I mean, can you elaborate on that?
Maybe even a little basic, real basic layman's terms, background on Parkinson's.
I don't want to get clinical. I don't know
the clinical terms for it. But they have just done a lot of research with people that have either had Parkinson's for a long time or those that were recently diagnosed. And they have just found that no matter what they were doing, as long as they were moving, their symptoms were not progressing as quickly. They were feeling better about themselves. They had more energy. They were able to move easier. And a lot of the demonstrations that we have, some of it is just moving in general. Some of it is doing demonstrations that are more of a novelty exercise. So maybe not necessarily bike riding, even though sometimes that will help also. But especially when it comes to boxing and things like that, it was something where they have to focus, you know, to do the crossbody jabs and things like that. Sure. And it just is something that helps them out.
Did we not do a radio? I'm sorry, Mary Jo.
No,
did we not do a radio show some time ago about a guy who had a boxing program for memory disorder?
Yeah, I think there was.
I can't remember the name.
But it's that same principle.
Petey Gladiators?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yes.
That was it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Larry Kahn with Petey Gladiators actually received.
That score.
Yeah, good job. They actually, we work very closely with them. They received, after our first year of Moving Day, some community grants in order to further their program. And they got more community grants after this last Moving Day. So we work really closely with them.
It's funny how that happened. But that just emphasized the importance of the movement. And I'll say, and again, this is what we do, is what Mary Jo and I and my company does virtually every day in at least 25, 30 homes every day. And every case where the client, that one suffering from the Parkinson's disorder, makes up their mind and determines that they're going to get out and do so, in every single case, they are significantly better than those that don't.
But it's hard to get over that hump, right? That initial hump of, I'm going to try this, even though it feels uncomfortable. I've never done this.
It is hard. And a lot of that also is why we encourage people to come out to Moving Day. You know, so even if that is the first time that they see the demonstrations, they're seeing it in a group of people, you know, and seeing other people that have Parkinson's and their families and how they're enjoying it and how they've benefited from it. And so it just kind of makes it seem like they're not alone with it. And it is something that's easy to manage and just basically do the best that they can with any movement that they can.
Isn't Parkinson's it's the disease where movements become involuntary?
Exactly. The tremors and the rigidity and all of that.
But, you know, even when we see people, you know, we see older people all the time. Even when we see healthy people, the ones that are keep moving.
Well, they all do. That's exactly right. It doesn't matter if they have no disorder. Right. It is the matter of staying active.
And this event sounds cool because you get to sample lots of them and see things, you know, in one place where it might be difficult, you know, without this event to try five different things. But here you can see and observe at least five different activities.
Exactly. And we have, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah. We have all of the demonstrators, or a lot of them actually are involved with the Petey Gladiators Network. And so they also will have a booth in the Resource Pavilion. So telling about the classes that they have, you know, if you liked what you saw and you wanted to be more involved, then here's where you can take these classes.
Because that's the key. If you like it, you'll do it more.
Exactly.
When you said, Lee, that it is difficult to get started, and it's just like anything else. It's the momentum and then overcoming the fear of the discomfort, or I can't do
right,
this.
Or I'll look silly, or it's too hard.
But we all do
right.
that.
Right.
I mean, my activity, and I've spent 3 weeks doing nothing. And so, again, yesterday,
gets harder, doesn't
I decided,
it?
I don't want to do it.
Right.
I didn't want to get up, and I didn't want to do it. But I said, so my goal is, this week, 4 times, period. I got to run 4 times. And I don't care if I got to walk half of the distance, right. I'm going to do it.
And that's the thing, is once you start, you're going to do
then it. Becomes
it's
easy.
Not like you start, I'm going to do it for 30 seconds and go back in. Once you start, you're in,
Yeah. So, Laura, I know we're going to say this at the end, too, but go ahead and give us some of the logistics of it. When is it? Where is it? How's it put on? What can they expect to see? And how do you get involved?
Okay, so
there's one question at a time, right?
The Moving Day Atlanta this year is actually coming up pretty quickly. It's on Sunday, October 25th, and it's at Centennial Olympic Park downtown. Registration starts at 9 a.m., and that's also when all of the Resource Pavilion, Sponsor Tents, Kids Area, and Movement demonstrations will start. And then there will be the opening ceremony and the walk itself. We'll have a few more movement demonstrations after the walk, and the entire event should be over around 1 p.m. And so if anyone that wants to sign up, it is free to sign up. Fundraising is encouraged, but not required. But anyone can sign up at www.movingdayatlanta.org. Or they can also find it, if they are more familiar with Parkinson.org website, they can also find the Moving Day event through there.
And is this the first time, or this has been
This
going
is
on?
The third walk that we've had in Atlanta.
And this is your first time, though?
This is my second, actually. I was brand new whenever I put on the event last year, and so this will be my second event that I've put on.
Now, what's your goal? What's a successful event look like
for
you?
Our event, we're hoping to raise $250,000 and recruit 100 teams. Last year, we ended up a little bit over $225,000, so just a little bit of a jump from that. But we are hopeful that we can make $250,000 or more.
And how many teams?
We're hoping for 100 teams.
So 100 teams of fundraising companies or families or
exactly.
churches or whatever.
And anyone, I don't want people to be discouraged. You don't have to have a team. I mean, we encourage it just from, obviously, the fundraising perspective and just getting people
also
pumped
social.
Up in the social perspective. We do offer, if you can't form a team or you just don't want to form a team, you're also able to walk as an individual. Or, so you guys can walk as individuals.
No, I'm looking at him like, maybe we can get the crew mobilized.
Exactly.
I don't feel good.
Oh, come on.
It's too hot.
Anyone, if you, for some reason, can't come out to the event itself, I mean, any donations that people can make is helpful. You can make those at movingdayatlanta.org, and that will go towards our fundraising goal. It'll go towards all of the free resources that the foundation offers. And also, like I was mentioning before with PD Gladiators, it goes towards community grants, and it also goes towards our center of excellence, which is Emory.
Emory, yes. Okay, so specifically the money raised goes toward Emory, PD Gladiators, what else? Research, I guess?
It'll go towards research, and then just all of the different educational materials that the foundation puts out. So that can be the resource of the helpline, where people can call in and talk to someone at our national office about any questions they have, or if they just need to vent about something. We also have a lot of, we call them rainbow books, and that's just different free books that we'll talk about exercise or medication or deep brain stimulation.
Rainbow.
Wow.
Okay. I thought it was Rambo. All right. Okay. Let me change the subject since they're looking at me funny. It seems to me like, there are different things to do for fundraising, but it seems to me like a race or a walk would be a great one, because the inherent costs, like when you do a dinner or a dance or something, you got to rent the facility, you got to pay for the dinner and the servers and all that. I mean, do you have any statistics as to how much of the money raised actually goes toward the charity and how much is cost?
I don't know the exact numbers.
I mean, I would think it would be better than
it's absolutely better than a gala or something like
sure.
that. We keep the bottom line as low as we possibly can. of just relying on sponsors or donated items and donated vendors and things like that. So we keep the numbers as low as completely possible while also having a great event. So then just from the net that we raise, we will divide that up of what goes towards research, education, and then the local community as well.
So now is there still time to get to be a sponsor?
Yes. The sponsor deadline is actually, well, because there's not a real deadline for it. But we give, if anyone wants
I like
a sponsor,
that, Sam.
I'll
Do
extend
you hear that?
It
no real the, deadlines.
Until the 25th, but just for the purpose, if they want to get the full branding with, you know, their name on the t-shirts and
right,
all those kind of
don't
things.
Do you have like a bag and things like that?
We don't have any goodie bags. We just have, we have a corporate banner. We give advertisement on our website and our social media page. And then we also put their branding on our t-shirts and our brochures that we hand out and things mm-hmm. like that. So the deadline for those things in particular would be October 5th.
Right.
But anyone can sponsor, you know, up through the event itself if
and
they
want
to. And
then what do sponsorship packages range from price-wise? Yes,
they start at $2,500. And that also, I forgot to mention, includes a booth at the event itself.
Oh, wow.
So they would have a 10 by 10 tent and a table, and they could come hand out materials and interact with all of the participants.
Ooh. And then how many people actually attend about or attended last year about?
We last year had about 750 registered.
Wow.
So and we're hoping
they probably
this year
bring more people though, right? So the probably the people milling around are probably more than that, right?
Yes.
It's probably 1,000 plus.
Yes, exactly.
And where is it again? Centennial
Olympic Park.
And then what's the course? Where do you run through?
The walk is actually around the perimeter of the park, around the sidewalks. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we do 4 laps, and each lap is 0.8 miles. And the reason for that is for, you know, any of the people that do have mobility issues or just don't want
to
walk,
like kind of
they can
stop
at any
they want.
Point. Really.
And then they can go back to the...
They can go back in. They can watch more movement demonstrations. Right. They can, you know, go around to the resource pavilion, our mission tent, anything like that. There'll be activities going on.
And that's a pretty area
time.
With the... You have the Ferris wheel still there,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah, we're surrounded and by basically all the landmarks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think that would be a value to elaborate on is the support for those that are suffering from Parkinson's. One of the problems, as you know, is that, just what I said earlier, you kind of think like, I'm in this all by myself. There's no one understands me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything with the walk and with the movement function where they could bond with other people that are experiencing the same thing?
Yes, absolutely. Any of the booths, you know, that we have, we're always giving out resources for different support groups, for the different exercise programs. There will be some information, you know, for caregivers specifically. And then also we'll have a tent talking about the mission of NPF. So that will have all of the resources. I'll have different things about our helpline, ask the doctor, anything like that. Just basically trying to, as much as possible, let them know that there is a community behind them. And that there are resources available to them and that they're not alone with dealing with this disease.
What's the helpline? Is it something easy to remember?
I wrote it down for myself. It's 1-800-473-4636. And it actually is 1-800-4-PD-INFO.
Okay, 1-800-473-4636. Okay.
How much has Michael J. Fox impacted the foundation?
I would say with Michael J. Fox, I think the biggest thing is just really awareness of the disease itself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily work all that closely with his foundation because I know that his is primarily giving money towards research.
Research, right.
And so with ours is a little bit split with doing research and then
and
doing
service,
and service. And so I guess we're competing in some regard, but we also...
But you have the same goal.
We do have the same goal. So a lot of times all the different PD organizations will come together, you know, just for whatever the best service is to help the patient and their family.
But is he a point where people mention that they heard about? Or...
They do. A lot of times that out of all of the PD organizations, that seems to be the one that they've heard of outside of NPF, the one that they've heard of the
right.
most.
I would think that... When I look at Michael J. Fox, I would think that that gives inspiration to those other sufferers of Parkinson that you can do somewhat normal things.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Not.
Because he's still continuing his career.
Right, right. I would think that would be the value right. there.
Is there have any medicines been developed to help them yet, or is it mostly...
There's a lot,
and Laura's frowning because, again, we've had a number of people. There's a lot of medication, and really they're still in testing, but they're far, far, farther down the road now than they were even 5 years ago in treating this disorder. Now, as far as cure, I don't know, but they can certainly treat it.
They're definitely getting closer, you know, to whenever it comes to any kind of cure, you really just need to pinpoint what's happening in the first place. And then go back and prevent that. So they're definitely getting closer of figuring out what it is exactly that's going wrong. And so I don't think a cure really is that far down the road. But yeah, there are a couple different... I was frowning so I couldn't remember all the names. But I know like there's Sinemet and Levodopa and just different medications like that that people can take. And as long as they're taking it on a regular basis, that it can definitely help manage the symptoms.
So now when people contact the foundation here locally, they're coming for a specific service, or they don't know, or they have a family member. What is typically the, you know, what's their initial
questions?
It's kind of a combination of all of the above, I guess. Some of them, you know, us either are trying to find a different resource for a support group or.
So support group, that's an important component to this also, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to identify the right group that you feel comfortable and that's convenient for you. I mean, that must be a challenge as well.
Exactly. And we keep a running list of all the different support groups that are going on in the area.
Are there a lot?
There are a lot. I don't know the exact number.
But is it like hundreds or is it like 15?
I don't think it's hundreds. I would say they're probably just spread throughout Metro Atlanta, probably 70 to 80.
Because transportation's an issue, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, they have them also. They break them down based on which county they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So then a lot of times with that, people can look at, well, which county am I willing to drive to? Which
right.
one do I live in? And then also based on which day of the week or whether it's at night or during the day. And so there's a lot of different options for them.
That's why they would contact your foundation, because you're kind of the place where all the information is?
Yes. So they're a lot of times asking about support groups or just doctor referrals, or they're wanting to know about different resources when it comes to assistance for medications and
things
like that.
What about like trials and things like that?
They do ask us sometimes about trials. And so a lot of the times with that, I would refer them, you know, to Emory or just
right.
whatever hospitals for doing that. And there are times, again, that I'm not the clinician. Mm-hmm. There are times if I don't know the answer, then I will reach out to the helpline specifically
sure.
and get more concrete answers for
uh-huh.
them and follow up.
I know that your main job, Laura, is this event. I mean, I guess there are things to do. As soon as it's finished,
Start planning next year.
What I know
we
how
do.
That goes. Yeah.
We,
it's never finished.
What are some
it's
of the first things?
Really finished.
What are some of the first things you do when the event's
when
over?
When the event's over, I mean, there's a lot of wrap up of just thanking everyone for coming, you know, getting the final numbers. We usually have an award ceremony where we can thank everyone. And then we have a little
and
bit
sponsors,
of
sponsors.
And the sponsors, especially.
And the volunteers. How do you rank
my
gosh, how many
yeah.
volunteers do you guys
we
use?
We usually have over 100 volunteers.
Is that a challenge?
No, actually, volunteers has been awesome
wow, that's
this year. We have plenty of volunteers willing to come out.
That's
so
great.
That is
I mean,
great.
A lot of organizations really struggle in that area.
And so do you head up that or hire someone? Or
no, I head up that as well.
Wow.
So they come, the volunteer, you're actually mobilizing the volunteers on moving day.
Yes.
So for our listeners who are really compelled to help out, they need to get a hold of you, right, Laura?
Exactly.
There you go. There's the look.
And you can write a book on how to set this up. You do everything. It's like.
I know. It's like I have a committee that helps out, but then yeah, other than that, it's kind of a one-man show.
Laura, this is great. We thank you for being with us. We wrap up,
don't forget the dates and times.
That's what's going to. Before we wrap up, tell us once again, the listening audience, the dates and times of the event, the walk.
Moving day.
Give us the specifics of how they can reach you if they'd be interested.
Right, if they're a sponsor or they want to put a team together.
And
okay.
whatever else there that we didn't let you mention that are on your notes, you can tell
oh,
us.
No, those are just little notes mm-hmm. for myself. So moving day is going to be on Sunday, October 25th at Centennial Olympic Park. It's from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. It's a free event to attend, but fundraising is encouraged. And you can sign up at www.movingdayatlanta.org, or you can also reach out to me at 404-228-9512, or you can email me at lrenna, that's R-E-N-N-A, at parkinson.org. And this is for if you want to participate, you want to volunteer, you want to sponsor, or if you just have a question about anything, just feel free to reach out to me at any time.
And is it parkinson.org?
Parkinson, no S.
No S, yes. Parkinson.org. And remember, corporately, the sponsorships are available from $2,500 up.
From $2,500 up to $25,000.
And how many people do you typically attract to an event like this? And what's that involve? Just because a lot of vendors, we hope and think, listen to our show. Other senior providers.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping for, especially with recruiting 100 teams, we're hoping for at least 1,000 participants. A lot of it depends on the size of the teams. So really anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500.
Okay.
Laura, we certainly appreciate it. Great information. We're grateful for your volunteer spirit. And we'd like to welcome you back, even maybe after the walk. And maybe,
right, a
you
recap.
Maybe you wanted to come in and do a successful, we could do that. Maybe that would be a good top off.
That would be great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to that little package you're carrying, too.
Oh, thank you.
That's it for today. We thank Laura. We thank Lee and Mary Jo, our listeners. And we want to remind the listeners that they can always go to our website, ugeriaradio.com. Listen to any broadcast that we have previously recorded. And as always, we want to say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.